I want us to look in the 18th chapter of the book of John today, and the setting here is the last moments, really, as it were, before Jesus Christ was sentenced to be taken away, and he was taken away to be crucified upon the cross of Calvary, where he would die for our sins. And the Bible tells us here that he was brought before the authorities at that point in time, and he began to be questioned about who he was and the situation that was there. And I want us to read just a few verses and look at this situation, and I wanted to give you some encouragement. I hope that will come from these words. Now, the Bible tells us in the 18th chapter of the book of John, beginning at the 33rd verse, it says, "Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again." Now, let me stop there. Pilate's already interacted with Jesus. He's interacted with the Sanhedrin court, with the high priest, as it were. And he's already shown himself what his interest is. But he keeps trying to intervene in some way. And in the 33rd verse, it says, "Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again, and he called Jesus, and he said unto him, 'Art thou the king of the Jews?' And Jesus answered, 'Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it to thee of me?' And Pilate answered, 'Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done?' And Jesus answered, 'My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence.' Pilate therefore said unto him, 'Art thou a king then?' And Jesus answered, 'Thou sayest that I am a king, and to this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. And everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice.' And Pilate said unto him, 'What is truth?' And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, 'I find in him no fault at all. But you have a custom that I should release unto you at the Passover. Will you therefore that I release unto you the king of the Jews?' And then they cried all again, saying, 'Not this man, but Barabbas.'" Now Barabbas was a robber. Let us pray. Lord, I thank you for the fact that as we stand here upon this rotating planet that you've given us, Lord, our foundation under our feet might not always be sure, but Lord, your word is a sure foundation. And Lord, upon you we can stand, upon the rock of your truth and upon the evidence that we've seen in the world around us today. And God, in this time of hand-wringing and trouble and quarrelsome and mischievous, Lord, and sin and wickedness all around us, God, I pray that you'll help us to stand upon the truths that you've revealed to us in your word. Like the early disciples, like the early church, help us to be a people of great confidence and great faith, realizing, Lord, it's not our works and it's not through our deservingness that you walk with us, Lord, but it's according to your word. Lord, I pray that you'll bless and touch in everything that's said and done here tonight. We pray, amen. And I'd like to bring a simple message this evening, just a couple of thoughts on the King of Kings, the King of Kings. We stand in a time of uncertainty, and people look around, and they say, what's going to become? The election comes. Who will win? What will we do? People begin to falter, and they say, we have this huge debt. We have this huge division that's within our nation. We have all of these world powers. We have this wickedness of ISIS in the Middle East. You know, we have this whatever, you fill in the blank. People look around, and they begin to say, what are we going to do about it? Now, there was a day in each one of our lives when we experienced that. There was a day when each one of the disciples that followed the Lord Jesus Christ would have experienced that. And yet the Bible tells us there are some things that we can have absolute confidence in. The Bible tells us here that Jesus had come to the last days of his life, as it were. He was no longer going to walk free. He was going to be taken to a mockery of a trial, which was here. He was going to be led to the street. He was going to carry his cross to the hill of Calvary, and he was going to give his life upon that place freely as the substitute for us and as the propitiation for our sin. And when he was called before this man Pilate, Pilate, who was well educated, he had been in this position, I can assure you, probably many times. He had interviewed people that were prisoners and who were destined to go to some form of execution. Pilate presented himself to him, and he began to ask him the facts, and this one thing came out over and over again, that Jesus Christ is the King of the Jews, that Jesus Christ is the King of Kings, and that he is the one in which all power and authority and all glory from God has been placed upon he and upon his presence. So I began to think about this passage and this question that Pilate had asked of him, "Art thou the King of the Jews?" And the first thing you begin to think about is, what is a king? Now, we live in a world around us today where we see people that are kings. They've imposed themselves. We see dictators. We see elected officials, as it were. But the aspect of this word of king, the definition of it is a sovereign or a monarch, a man who holds by life his tenure and is usually by hereditary birthright, the chief authority over a country and a people. Pilate asked Jesus, he said, "Art thou a king?" Folks, I'm going to tell you today that in absolutely every aspect of this word, Jesus Christ is the King of Kings. His authority is beyond reproach. His power is beyond our imagination. And his birthright comes from the one who gave us the very planet that we exist upon today. You begin to look at what is a king, and there are people who become kings because they're born into the right family, and their father was a king before them, and they follow in that hereditary line, as it were. Jesus is the Son of God. Now, we talked about this on Sunday in our class, and Brother Michael was talking about how many people there are that refute that Jesus was even born of a virgin. That he was born in the deity, that he is the son of the Trinity, that he is God incarnate. It's a shame that people look at that. And you may disagree with me, but I'm going to tell you that someone who cannot believe Jesus is what Jesus said he was, I don't believe that they're right with God. I believe they need to get back to the Word of God and look at what it says, and just in simple faith accept that God himself exists in three persons. He gave us Jesus Christ, and Jesus walked among men a perfect and a sinless example, and that he is the king by hereditary traits. God himself gave us Jesus. The second way that you might become a king is you might do it through your own work. You might do it through the effort that's put in. Maybe someone goes out and they form a kingdom, or there's a combat, or there's a battle or something, and they're able to attain that supreme position of authority over a country and over a people. And I'm going to tell you that Jesus has paid the price that he might be the King of the Jews and all of those that have been grafted in to the kingdom of God. Jesus is a king. So what kind of king is Jesus? The first thing I would tell you is that Jesus is a great king. We began to worry about, who's going to lead us and what's going to happen and what have you. And I thank God for the fact that in his perfect order, in his perfect design, he's given us Christ who leads the New Testament church. We don't have to worry about who holds tomorrow when Jesus has it all in his hands. Now, you may be facing a situation today where you say, "I don't have enough money, I don't have enough time, I don't have enough this, I don't have enough that." But Jesus is a great king, and he loves all of his servants. The Bible tells us that the greatest thing that Jesus gives us is the king. It's not protection, and we'll touch on that, and it's not the gifts that he gives us, but the greatest thing that Jesus gives us is the gift of eternal life. You see, that's what a king can do. A king can make treaties. A king can reach agreements. A king can be strong enough so that he can protect all of his people. And I thank God that Jesus is that great king who was great enough that he went to the cross of Calvary and he paid all of the sin debt that we might have life eternal through him. You want to have something to rejoice in today? It's the fact that Jesus loves us so much that he gave us everything that we needed that we could never get for ourselves. He is the great king. He is a king who never abandons his people. He's a king who is never missing in action. He is a king who is faithful to forgive and so kind and generous towards his servants. I was thinking about this, and I told Cindy as I was leaving the house earlier. You know, Brother Gary, we talked about this, that 1 year ago, I had stepped away from Still Creek Church, which was the leading the Lord had laid on my heart, and we were very broken as we went. And we came the first night, and we sat down, and Miss Shelby had seen us at a public place. She said, "Steve, why don't you come visit the church?" As we talked about that, we came in, and it was just a great blessing to be here. And here we are, Cindy, a year later. And what a great God we have that He's allowed us to be a part of your congregation again. And Brother Ralph, if you would have said to me, Steve, a year from now, you'll help with this, you'll help with that, what have you, you know, you'll be a help to the church, it would have been a great thing to hear, but I'm not sure I could have believed it. But Jesus is a great King. He provides and He's faithful to meet our needs. Why? Because He loves His people. You think about the essence of God. The Bible tells us that God is love, and Jesus is the exemplification of that. When man could not build a bridge to God, God provided a sacrifice, a lamb to be slain from the foundation of the world that we might have forgiveness through Him. I love the fact that Jesus is a great King. The Bible tells us also, though, that Jesus is a powerful King. Now, what if you had what if you were in a place where you were dependent upon the leadership of that situation, and you had no confidence in the leadership to be able to change things? What if you were in a place where you looked at those who were out in the front and you said, I don't have any confidence that they have any power? But when we look at the Lord Jesus Christ, we can look at the one who has all power. All power. Several years ago, there was a lady, and I never met her. Her name was Kelly. And she was a lady who had a very serious situation with a tumor that was a brain tumor, as it were. And there were so many churches that prayed for Kelly. And after a period of just weeks, she went back to the doctor, and they ran the tests, and it really was a miracle. The tumor was gone, and all praise and glory and honor were given unto Kelly. There was another time when we were at the church. The church had a food pantry, and some of you came and helped with that. We appreciate that, Brother Wayne, and others that came and helped us. And there was a day, Brother Ralph, when the cupboards were bare. It was like old Mother Hubbard's story, you know. I mean, there wasn't anything there. Food pantry day was coming up. And, you know, 50, 60, 100 people would come. We'd give them groceries. And there was a lady who was at the church cleaning one day, just before that, and the phone rang. And a lady called, and we didn't know her, and she said, you don't know me. I'd like to make a donation to the church. Over $1,000. She said, I don't know what you're going to do with it, but I have this situation. I was just impressed to give it to the church, and the cupboards got restocked. Folks, I'm telling you that Jesus is a powerful King. He can speak His voice, and the winds will stop. He can speak His voice, and those who are affirmed to be dead will rise from the grave. He can speak His voice from heaven, and the lost can be saved. He can speak His voice, and what's empty becomes full. And He can speak His voice, and what was destroyed can be mended. Folks, I'm just delighted tonight that I tell you that Jesus, Pilate asked Him, art thou the King of the Jews? He is the King of the Jews. He's a great King. He's a powerful King. And the Bible tells us that in the world around us today, that most of the people we know on the face of this planet, 7 billion citizens, as it were, most of those folks, unfortunately, have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't recognize Him for who He is. Even Pilate did not want to deal with Jesus, as it were. But he sent Him to the cross of Calvary, and there He died as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The Bible tells us that while many may reject Him upon this earth, that there'll be a day when that will pass. In fact, in the book of Philippians, the 2nd chapter, the 7th verse, it talks about Jesus. It says, but He made Himself of no reputation, and He took upon Him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in the fashion as a man, Jesus humbled Himself. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. But here we go. In the book of Philippians, the 2nd chapter, it says, wherefore God also hath exalted Him, has highly exalted Him, and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in the earth and things in heaven, things in the earth, things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Amen. On this earth, there may be those who say, I'll take the way of man. There may be people who say, I'll take my chances. But I tell you what, I'd like to fall right in line as a faithful servant behind that powerful King, Jesus Christ, Lord of Lords. The Bible tells us that He's a blessing, and He's not a curse. He's not a hurt to any that follow after Him. And the Bible tells us that He is everything that He said He would be. in this situation of Pilate calling before him, Pilate said, "Art thou a king?" And Jesus asked him a question if he had determined this for himself. And in verse 35, Pilate answered back to him and said, am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? You see, Jesus hadn't done anything except to come and fulfill the Father's will. He was the lamb that was sacrificed, and it was his destiny from the time that Mary gave birth to him, and he laid his head in that borrowed cradle, as it were. And from that day forward, he began to fulfill the Father's will. Pilate asked him the question. He said, "What hast thou done?" I tell you what he did. He fulfilled everything that he needed to establish his kingdom. There was not a jot or a tittle that he did not fulfill according to perfection. In fact, the Bible tells us, you know, what was it really that Caiaphas and Annas and the rest came after? They were jealous of him. They didn't understand him. They had rejected truth. And Pilate came to him and he asked him this question, "What hast thou done?" And Jesus tried to answer him in the best way that Pilate might understand. And in verse 36, Jesus gave this answer. He said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. Look at this, but now is my kingdom not from hence." Jesus is a powerful king. Jesus is a loving and a kind king. And I would tell you the problem that you and I and the born-again Christian believer has upon the face of this earth is that we're in a place that's not our home. This is not our kingdom. Now, God has been so good to us, and I always come in, and I know this church building's been here, and that I know it was built several years ago, but I think about what a beautiful place it really is. The work that's been done, the inside, the outside, you know, the pastor's got a real eye for detail, and they just did the awnings, and they all match, and the beauty of the building that's out here. And if you ever go to a large church, and we were in Boston this summer, and you get to see some of the really articulate, handcrafted churches, and you begin to think about how God has been so good to give people the ability to build those beautiful places. But folks, I'm telling you that the beauty of this world is like filthy trash to what God has in mind. I always think it's amazing when the Bible gives us an idea of what heaven looks like. The material that God chose to be the pavement, the things that we would stomp on, the things that would be the equivalent of rock and asphalt and concrete here, he chose gold. It shows the preciousness of that great place. And when we begin to think about this kingdom that Jesus spoke of, we realize that we can't even begin to acknowledge what it is. The Bible tells us that it's not even entered into our mind, that we don't even have the comprehension of imagining what heaven is like. But you see the description here that Jesus gave in verse 36. He said, "My kingdom is not of this world." He goes on and he gives us another idea about another aspect of that kingdom in verse 37. Pilate therefore said unto him, "Art thou a king then?" You see, there's this theme, "Art thou a king?" And Jesus answered in verse 37, "Thou sayest that I am a king." Now, I love this. And we had a little lady in our church, Double Springs, and her name was Zeta. And we always loved Zeta. And Zeta had a saying. She was kind of feisty. And Zeta would look at you, she'd say, "Clear speech is seldom misunderstood." And you think about that. Yes or no, the answer is three, what have you. Clear speech is seldom misunderstood. And Jesus gave the clearest of speech here. He says, "Thou sayest that I'm a king," and look at his answer. "To this end was I born. And for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth, and everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." Now we think about Jesus' kingdom, and we think about some of the attributes to it, but I'm going to tell you this evening that one of the very focal points of Jesus' kingdom is the aspect of truth. He said, I am a truth bearer, and the people who know me, the people who are going to receive me, they're going to receive me in truth. And we've got a problem in the world around us today. and I hope somebody will say amen, which is that there is a massive rejection of the truth. The truth is not appreciated. I told this story, and you'll forgive me if I tell it again, but several years ago, the company I worked for started a physical type thing. You go once a year, and I've told this story, but you go in and you get blood work done. You just kind of like an assembly line. You go here and they do your height. You go here, they weigh you. You go here and you know this, and you get to the end. And when I got to the end, Brother Ralph, the young lady sat down, and she was very athletic and very young and all that. And she said, "Everything looks good except for your weight." And I said, "I, what are you thinking?" And she said, "Your ideal weight was like 145, but it was like 20 pounds lower than where I'm getting to or where I was at." And I told her my ideal height was 6'3", and I wasn't going to hit that number either. And that's truth. That's truth, which is, through any circumstances of my own, I don't intend to deprive myself of that much food and get to that point intentionally. But you see, we live in a world around us today where the truth has been rejected. Now, let me give you a truth that the world has rejected. I'll give you an example. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The Bible is God's Word revealed unto man. God has a church that is open to anyone who would receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. That after this world ends, we're going to step off of this planet into eternity. And there's only two places that you're going to end up, forever in eternity, for time without end. You're either going to go to heaven, you're going to be with God in a sinless environment that is perfection that we can't even imagine, or those who reject Jesus Christ as their Savior and the blood sacrifice that He paid for Him, they're going to go to a devil's hell. That's truth. Simple, clear understanding. Now, we've got the Wednesday Warriors, and the kids are on both sides here, and I praise God for that. And our youth out here, a toddler, can generally understand these type of statements. You can go to two places. You can go here, or you can go there. But you see, in the absence of truth, the world has filled in with stories and supplements that they prefer and like better. And it's getting us into a lot of trouble. Brother Gary, I shared with the Sunday school class there on Sunday morning that we look at the race for politics and local and presidential and Congress and all that kind of stuff, and we say, where are the people who are going to lead us? Well, I'm going to tell you, this is my opinion. You don't have to agree with me, but I think that the real place where we need truth is in the pulpit. And I'd love to see somebody that would stand for God and call out His name and recognize Him as Lord of Lords and lead this nation in the way that they ought to go. But I'm actually more upset about the people who don't preach the truth on Sunday morning and are leading a world in a form of works and a form of feel-good religion that has nothing except the name of Jesus Christ associated with it, but no bearing of truth in the pulpit. And I appreciate the support. But Jesus said, if my people were here, if my servants were here, they would fight. And He went on to say that to this end I came into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. So what is the truth that Jesus came to bear witness of? I believe it's very simple, that there is a God. He performs miracles, which Jesus saw. He's all powerful, and that He loves even the most vile sinner and can forgive them of their sins. Jesus came that He might reveal the love of God towards men, in that when we were unlovable, yet God gave His holy begotten Son. The most precious thing that ever existed in heaven is Jesus, the Son of God. And He gave Him to a filthy, vile man, mankind, that He might be persecuted, might be tormented in this mockery of a trial. Jesus, His kingdom is based upon truth. The Bible tells us that He has a loyal, He has a committed group of servants. The Bible tells us that in His kingdom that will come one day, He will establish order and discipline, that there will be no trouble. And I tell you what, I look forward to the day when I get a chance to spend with Jesus. Now, I'm not in a hurry to get to heaven. Don't get me wrong. I love my family, and God's given me blessings, and just as He has you and what have you. But I don't fear, Brother Ralph, I don't fear death. I don't. I want to see Jesus in His perfect time. Why? Because He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And everything that we can begin to imagine here, the blessings that he pours out upon us, are as nothing compared to what we will experience one day when we're in his presence. But Jesus said to Pilate, he said, my day is not here. My kingdom is not here. I have come. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. And Pilate, just the natural man that he is, no spirituality about him, he asked the question, what is truth? Truth is something that the natural man doesn't want to receive. It's the Holy Spirit that comes and lays upon somebody's heart after they've heard the preaching that you need a Savior, and that someone comes and they repent and they ask God to come into their life and be everything that they could not be. The last point I want to bring this evening is, yes, Jesus has a kingdom. He's a powerful king. He is a great king. He's a loving and he's a kind king. And he is a king that is coming again. I want you to turn back a few pages with me to the book of John, the 14th chapter. And I want you to look at what happened. It actually, in real time, would have been just a short period of time, as it were, before this discussion with Pilate. The Bible tells us that Jesus had come to the point where he had just rebuked the disciples appropriately. He had told Peter, you're going to deny me. Peter said, I'm going to be faithful to you. Jesus said, no, you're not. You're going to deny me. And Jesus goes through and you notice all the red letters in chapter 15, 16, 17. Jesus is working with his disciples in the last few minutes, as it were. And in the 14th chapter of the book of John, we see Jesus make a promise. Now, promises are great things. And we were looking. Cindy had pulled up the photographs from our son's wedding, which was in August, and we were looking at that. You know, wedding is promise. Wedding is a commitment. You know, one person stands before another in the presence of God and the witnesses, and they make a commitment. Promises are a great thing. I love it when we see promises made. And Jesus had made a promise here in the 14th chapter, I believe, to not only to ease the suffering, the situation in the hearts of his true believers, of his inner circle, but also it's a promise that extends to us today. And I want you to look at this, these few verses. In John chapter 14, Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Look at this promise. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. We have a great promise that Jesus is coming again. Now the world around looks and we're waiting on everything else to come. Seems like we're waiting on the end of the year, we're waiting on Thanksgiving, Christmas, we're waiting on whatever it is. Folks, we don't know the hour that Jesus might come back. You begin to look at the technology that's in the world around us today, the ability for the Antichrist. Now, that's not real popular in the world's vernacular today, but, you know, I'm real old school. But you think about everything that needs to be in place. Everybody's unhappy with their leaders. And the Bible indicates that when the Antichrist comes on the scene, I don't think it's going to take him 6 months of lobbying, Brother Ralph. I think he'll come in. People will be so fed up with what they have, they will leech onto him almost immediately. He's going to come on the scene quickly. Think about the world we live in today. The connectiveness, the technology, all this stuff. I don't know what day it is. Only God the Father knows the day. But Jesus is going to come back. Now, he was talking to his disciples here. He was about to be betrayed by Judas. These guys were just downhearted because of the correction that Jesus had given to them. And he said, listen, don't be discouraged. You have a king that goes to prepare a place for you. Now, they may have thought in some fashion he was going to go prepare a meal or a house or some place. No, he went to heaven to prepare a place that we might be with him forever. I thank the Lord for the simpleness of the gospel. Jesus says, it goes on in verse 6 of the 14th chapter, he says, Jesus said unto Thomas, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Or I would tell you that no man cometh unto the Father but by the King. Jesus is the one that was given that we might have forgiveness of our sins. We won't turn there for the sake of time, but in the book of 1 John, the second chapter, the writer John, who was that beloved disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, he encouraged us not to love this world. Love not the world nor the things thereof. Isn't that the commandment all of us need to live by? I heard this said, and Brother Ralph, I'm always encouraged when I work with younger people, and they give such good wisdom. In one of our Sunday school classes, someone talked about how the prosperity of this world has impacted the spirituality of the church. You see, this is a beautiful church. This is a beautiful place that we come to worship. I thank the Lord for all of the singing and for all of the talent and for the padded pews and for all of the giving and for all the ministry that goes out. But you see, this world is not the home for the Christian. We got better things on ahead. Jesus came as the King of Kings that we might be able to follow Him, knowing one day that He would come back and get His church. I don't know what that day is, but I can tell you that one day there'll be the last person who's saved. The last person who gets in before the time of tribulation begins, as God has described it. And on that day, He'll come and get us all. He'll take us to be with Him, the young and the old, those who are strong and those who are afflicted in some fashion. He's going to come and get those who love Him. Why? Because He is a great King, and He'll never leave any of us behind. Shall we pray this evening? Lord, I do thank You for the privilege to stand here this evening. Lord, to try to be a blessing to this church, Lord, and to try to be a support to Pastor Rick. Lord, we just love You, and we just thank You, Lord, because of the fact that we are weak, but You're strong. And Lord, we're very limited, but You have no boundaries. And God, I thank You that when the world around us is wringing their hands, saying, "What's next?" and "Oh me," and "Oh my, what will I do?" that You've got everything taken care of. God, You own the cattle on 1,000 hills. And the earth rises, the sun rises over the earth because of Your commandment. The winds blow, the rain comes because You would will it to be so. Lord, You give us a number of days. You give us a number of hairs upon our head. You know everything about us, Lord. And if You love us that much and care that much for us, ought we not to trust in You and to look to You as the King that leads us in all things of our life? God, I pray especially here tonight that if there's someone, even in this congregation, Lord, who's never settled their eternal condition with You, God, that tonight might be the night when You would lean heavy upon their heart and help them to recognize through the Holy Spirit that Your Word says there is a Savior. His name is Jesus Christ, and He is willing and anxious to forgive all of the sins and trespasses that we have transgressed in this life. Lord, be with us. Be with everything that's said and done. And Lord, these things we ask in Your blessed name. Amen.